Please, for our second reading to Daniel, the second chapter. Daniel chapter 2, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. And in the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar dreamed dreams, wherewith his spirit was troubled, and his sleep brake from him. Then the king commanded to call the magicians and the astrologers and the sorcerers and the Chaldeans for to show the king his dreams. So they came and stood before the king. And the king said unto them, I have dreamed a dream, and my spirit was troubled to know the dream. Then spake the Chaldeans to the king in Syriac, O king, live forever. Tell thy servants the dream, and we will show the interpretation. The king answered and said unto the Chaldeans, the thing is gone from me. If ye will not make known unto me the dream with the interpretation thereof, ye shall be cut in pieces, and your houses shall be made a dunghill. But if ye show the dream and the interpretation thereof, ye shall receive of me gifts and rewards and great honor. Therefore, show me the dream and the interpretation thereof. They answered again and said, let the king tell his servants the dream, and we will show the interpretation of it. The king answered and said, I know of certainty that ye would gain the time, because ye see the thing is gone from me. But if you will not make known unto me the dream, there is but one decree for you. For ye have prepared lying and corrupt words to speak before me till the time be changed. Therefore, tell me the dream, and I shall know that ye can show me the interpretation thereof. The Chaldeans answered before the king and said, there is not a man upon earth that can show the king's matter. Therefore, there is no king, Lord, nor ruler, that asked such things at any magician or astrologer or Chaldean. And it is a rare thing that the king requireth, and there is none other that can show it before the king except the gods whose dwelling is not with flesh. For this cause the king was angry and very furious, and commanded to destroy all the wise men of Babylon. And the decree went forth that the wise men should be slain, and they sought Daniel and his fellows to be slain. Then Daniel answered with counsel and wisdom to Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, which was gone forth to slay the wise men of Babylon. And he answered and said to Arioch, the king's captain, why is the decree so hasty from the king? Then Arioch made the thing known to Daniel. Then Daniel went in and desired of the king that he would give him time, and that he would show the king the interpretation. Then Daniel went to his house and made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, that they would desire mercies of the God of heaven concerning this secret, that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. And Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. And he changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. He revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is the darkness, and the light dwelleth with him. I thank thee and praise thee, O thou God of my fathers, who has given me wisdom and might, and has made known unto me now what we desired of thee. For thou hast now made known unto us the king's matter. Therefore Daniel went in unto Arioch, whom the king had ordained to destroy the wise men of Babylon. He went and said thus unto him, destroy not the wise men of Babylon. Bring me in before the king, and I will show unto the king the interpretation. Then Arioch brought in Daniel before the king in haste, and said thus unto him, I have found a man of the captives of Judah that will make known unto the king the interpretation. The king answered and said to Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, art thou able to make known unto me the dream which I have seen and the interpretation thereof? Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, the secret which the king hath demanded cannot the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, the soothsayers show unto the king, but there is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets and maketh known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days. Thy dream and the visions of thy head upon thy bed are these. As for thee, O king, thy thoughts came into thy mind upon thy bed what should come to pass hereafter, and he that revealeth secrets maketh known to thee what shall come to pass. But as for me, this secret is not revealed unto me for any wisdom that I have more than any living, but for their sakes that shall make known the interpretation to the king, that thou mightest know the thoughts of thy heart. Thou, O king, sawest, and behold, a great image. This great image, whose brightness was excellent, stood before thee, and the form thereof was terrible. This image's head was of fine gold, his breast and his arms of silver, his belly and his thighs of brass, his legs of iron, his feet part of iron and part of clay. Thou sawest, till that a stone was cut out without hands, which smote the image upon his feet that were of iron and clay, and brake them to pieces. Then was the iron, the clay, the brass, the silver, and the gold broken to pieces together, and became like the chaff of the summer threshing floors, and the wind carried them away, that no place was found for them. And the stone that smote the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. This is the dream, and we will tell the interpretation thereof before the king. Thou, O king, art a king of kings, for the God of heaven hath given thee a kingdom, power, and strength, and glory. And wheresoever the children of men dwell, the beasts of the field and the fowls of the heaven hath he given into thine hand, and hath made thee ruler over them all. Thou art this head of gold. And after thee there shall arise another kingdom inferior to thee, and another third kingdom of brass, which shall bear rule over all the earth. And the fourth kingdom shall be strong as iron, for as much as iron breaketh in pieces and subdueth all things. And as iron that breaketh all these, shall it break in pieces and bruise. And whereas thou sawest the feet and toes, part of potter's clay and part of iron, the kingdom shall be divided, but there shall be in it of the strength of the iron, for as much as thou sawest the iron mixed with miry clay. And as the toes of the feet were part of iron and part of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly broken. And whereas thou sawest iron mixed with miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men, but they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay. And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. For as much as thou sawest that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it brake in pieces the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, and the gold, the great God hath made known to the king what shall come to pass hereafter. And the dream is certain, and the interpretation thereof sure. Then the king Nebuchadnezzar fell upon his face, and worshipped Daniel, and commanded that they should offer an oblation and sweet odors unto him. The king answered unto Daniel and said, of a truth it is that your God is a God of gods, a Lord of kings, and a revealer of secrets, seeing thou couldest reveal this secret. Then the king made Daniel a great man, and gave him many great gifts, and made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon, and the chief of the governors over all the wise men of Babylon. Then Daniel requested of the king, and he set Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego over the affairs of the province of Babylon. But Daniel sat in the gate of the king. May God add His blessing to the reading and hearing of His most holy word. Very shortly, then, after the cream of the crop has been brought to Babylon, there is indeed a dream that Nebuchadnezzar has. The timing of it has been disputed by some, but there are excellent explanations to that. Normally, what we have in the computing of regnal years, we have sometimes when a king is computed as reigning when he is still a regent under his father, and then when he comes into his own, that reckoning is brought again. And so sometimes we will refer to his regency, and sometimes we will refer to his majority. And that's the difference that we see here, that we're only in the second year of Nebuchadnezzar. Seems to be a contradiction with Jeremiah chapter 25 and verse 1. Whenever we come across those things in Scripture, those apparent contradictions, I bring them up to tell you that the Bible is clear. The Bible is without error. The Bible is not only inerrant without error, it is infallible. It cannot err because God has written it. So we must always look for places of agreement where they appear to be contradictory to us. Nebuchadnezzar then dreamed a dream that troubled his spirit. Well, it would trouble anyone's spirit because he saw this huge statue that was brought to nothing by this rock made without hands, and so on. When he says, "The thing is gone from me," the Chaldean is a little bit obscure there. What Nebuchadnezzar could mean is the thing is most certain with me. Right? And so, in other words, what he's saying is, I forgot the dream, so you need to first tell me the dream and then the interpretation. Actually, what he's saying is, I'll know whether or not you know what the interpretation is, because the thing is certain with me. The thing is certain that you must give me the dream and the interpretation. Well, of course, the Chaldeans, the Magi, that's how it originally reads, they come before the king and they're effusive in their apology. Nobody's ever asked this before, king. There's no king upon earth that asked this of his counselors. You've never heard of this anywhere, have you, King Nebuchadnezzar? This is highly unusual that you would be asking us these things. And they're making all of these excuses. And with every excuse, it seems as if Nebuchadnezzar is getting harder and lower in his throne. He's like, come on, you guys. And so finally, he says, well, that's it. He's angry and he's going to put them all to death. We see the kind of king that Nebuchadnezzar is. Not a nice man. You can't give me the dream and can't give me the interpretation. Then you die. What good are you as counselors to me? In other words. So the decree is urgent and Daniel finds out about it because he is numbered among the Magi, although he is a believer, he's not like the others, and his three friends as well. And so he goes to Arioch, the captain of the Magi, and he says, now, there's a God in heaven, and he reveals secrets, and I will go and I will get the interpretation. In that first instance, we see Daniel's confidence, first of all. We see his confidence, his faith in God. Secondly, we see that confidence was not without putting feet to that faith. He calls his three friends together and he says, pray for me. I'm going to go and ask God to give me the dream and the interpretation. Pray for me that we're not killed with the rest of the Magi. So notice his use of means. Daniel calls his friends together and asks them to pray. That's in verses 14 through 19. Then Daniel went to his house and so on and made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, that they would desire mercies of the God of heaven concerning this secret. Then in verse 19, we read that the vision was revealed to Daniel at night in a dream to himself. And so now he has the dream. And he has the interpretation of it, not only the dream, but its interpretation. And we see that Daniel, while he might have been urgent to go and to make the thing known to the king, if he was self-aggrandizing, looky, looky what I got. Instead, he pauses and spends time giving thanks to God. So again, Daniel shows himself an example of faith, means, and thankfulness here that must not slip by us without notice. So then he goes into the king and he makes known the dream and the interpretation of it. But more than that, he also makes known the king's mindset before the dream ever came. The thoughts, you went to bed troubled that night, didn't you, King Nebuchadnezzar? When you went to bed that night, you were troubled. And it was with good reason, because you had a dream that came to you. And so there's this colossus, this statue, and it has a head of gold, then the chest and arms of silver, the middle section of brass, and the thighs, and then the feet of iron and clay, or the lower extremities of iron mixed with clay. Commentators, godly commentators, are agreed that this is the succession of kings that took place from the days of Babylon until the days of Rome. So you have the Babylonish Empire, the head of gold. Then you have the Medo-Persian Empire immediately after that. That would be the arms of silver. And notice, arms of silver, Medo-Persian Empire. Then you have the Syro-Phoenician that comes after Alexander, right? Alexander is going to be represented a little bit later on in the book of Daniel as the hairy goat. And then the division, the fourfold division of his kingdom. And then after that, Rome. So those were the great kingdoms of the world to follow Nebuchadnezzar's day. And why does it only go to Rome? Why doesn't it stretch beyond that? Because in the days of that last kingdom, a rock shall be made, cut out of a mountain without hands. The term without hands is interesting, isn't it? Because one of the accusations that will be brought against Christ is that he said, destroy this temple that was made with hands, and I will raise it up without hands. Those were not Christ's words. Those were the words of his accusers, which may hearken back to Daniel chapter 2, saying that what Jesus was actually claiming was Messiahship for himself, and that he was going to raise up a kingdom without hands. Right? So, this rock is made without hands. It's not fashioned after the beauty of the world. It's not fashioned after the height and stature and precious things of this world. It looks like it's hewed out of a mountain like a rock. You wouldn't think much on it to see it until it comes and makes havoc and destroys the rest of the kingdoms of the world. It is higher than the kingdoms of the world, and all kingdoms of the world eventually will be indeed the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ. So you have then this wonderful picture of the Christian church rising up in the days of the Roman Empire, which is that, you know, it's mingled with the seed of men. What happened with Rome? What was their downfall? Well, that they conscripted barbarians into their government. And what happened, that was eventually their downfall when Rome actually fell. And so that kingdom then, it started out, if you will, with the conversion, however real it was, of Constantine. But then it ended up that the Christian church rose up, and not only was Rome destroyed, but all those other kingdoms were destroyed as well. And now, since those days, the kingdom that was made without hands goes forth into all the earth. And one by one, until the end of days, kingdom upon kingdom, people upon people, will be subdued unto that kingdom. I think that that's undeniable in Scripture. We look for a triumph of the gospel by the end of the ages, with a short time of apostasy at the end of that triumph. All right, so then we have the end of the passage. Nebuchadnezzar, as extreme as he was in his anger, now he is sinfully extreme in his favors. So he falls down and worships Daniel and has sweet incense and odors burned unto him. Right? And so it is almost a species of idolatry. Why didn't Daniel say anything? Well, we weren't there. We don't know exactly what was going on. Perhaps it was acceptable. So let's give the benefit of the doubt there. But the king made Daniel a great man and gave him many gifts and made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon, the chief of the governors over all the wise men of Babylon. And then Daniel requested that he have assistance to help him in his government, and they were set over various provinces. Daniel sat in the gate of the king. This will be important in the next chapter. Some critical scholars have asked the question, where is Daniel? Why isn't he in the plains of Dura also, where the obelisk of Nebuchadnezzar is set up? Well, it's obvious. He was about his duty in the gate of the king. That's where he was. All right, with that then, let's stand and call.